I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm pretty positive.
We're tapping the arm in the bullpen here, it looks like. So you've hosted the show yourself. Tomorrow is an historic show, however. Pony, to finally pay off his bet from last year's pick segment, is going to be sitting where you are. He's going to be, I think Content Craig is going to have to sit in there with him for a little bit. I think he's going to have to study at the foot of Bechtold.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be... I'm happy because I do think after tomorrow, he will have a better appreciation for what all happened.
This implies that you don't think he has an appreciation for it now. Say it. Go after him.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I just don't think he realizes everything that has to be done.
I would agree.
I think he's aware, but
I think he's also tunnel visioned on his job, and that's probably why he comes off like... unaware of what you guys are doing in there.
There are a lot of little things that didn't exist in the past, maybe like days, you know, back in his Buffalo era where he maybe had to run a board a few times.
Presumably.
There are things, yeah, like social media wise. I'm going to log him in to all of my stuff on the computer
and make him do it.
Because then there's not like an out of like, I can't get access to it.
Oh.
Because that was something that Craig was worried about. I'll log him on to all of my stuff. It'll all be open.
JP in the YouTube chat has a great idea. He says, every person that's on the chat right now on YouTube needs to call into tomorrow's show. Well, the reason it's an historic show is Pony will be in there. You will be across from me. I am the one who gets to just do nothing out of the ordinary. I get there's not pressure on you. You know how to run a show. You're picking the topics, big dog. Or you're setting the table, I should say, every segment. You're driving this bus. Pony's producing this bus for one day. He is paying it off tomorrow. So, very excited about that. And I'm excited to hear you get a little time in the sun over there. You ready to step in across from me? You know how cantankerous I can be. You know what a gigantic pain in the ass I am willing to be in certain situations.
I mean, I'm already starting to put some things together. Thursday shows, we know we already have some things set in. We know we have power rankings. We know we have TRT. We'll still do a debrief.
You get to pick the TRT categories. I cannot wait for that.
I should try to make them...
Is it going to be the pony football debrief, though? He's going to have to say, like, the debrief, October 2, 2025.
Yeah, we could let him take charge.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be very fun. Also... I'm also excited for this Saturday. I got my Golftoberfest event, a two-person tournament. So co-ed, obviously, if you want to be. Hickory Heights Golf Club. You can call the course if you want to register. I have a pinned tweet up that the first reply is a registration link. It's like if Alt Shot and Two Man Scramble had a baby. That's the format we're playing. Prizes, good stuff. Still a chance to sign up for this thing. I am playing in it this year, Don. And as we know, it's the summer of Malzy that's now been extended into the autumn of Malzy because I won the tournament on, the second or third day of fall? People have a chance to go after me if they want. They have a chance to take down old Malzy in a two-person event. So that's this Saturday. Still a chance to sign up at Hickory Heights. I got a pinned tweet on it. And you can call the course if you want to register a two-person team at a pretty challenging public golf course, I would say. Some make the sign of the cross and pray type of swings that you've got to take out there, which is I kind of like. All right. I am legitimately curious. I want to tease some people up at 412-928-9370 about this. I do. Are we, and we touched on this yesterday, but I think like it deserves a little bit more of an in-depth conversation. I am given to cynicism on the Steelers, partly because I've seen things collapse as recently as last year. They're 10-3, blink, they're 10-7, blink again, they're out of the playoffs. Good night, nurse. They had a lead in the division very much until they didn't have a lead in the division. And I will concede that despite how cynical I am about the fact that they have played the easiest part of their schedule, that you can make an argument that they should be 4-0, but for an all-time blunder by Caleb Johnson and a less all-time but still costly blunder by Calvin Austin, they might have actually beaten the Seahawks, who look like a pretty good football team. Despite my overall and typical cynicism, it is very difficult right now to imagine a better four-week start to the Steelers season that doesn't have them undefeated than the one they've actually got. So think about it. They're 3-1. I would say probably, even though I pilloried Mike Tomlin and still absolutely have reservations about the way he handles end-of-game situations, which often decide games in the NFL, and just because it worked out for him, I don't love the fact that he did all of his, he played the hits, all the bad ones, at the end of that Vikings game. You can probably make a case that that's the most complete game they've played all year. Defense didn't show up against the Jets. Rodgers had to rescue them with ultimate, like, super opportunistic offense. Seahawks game was a bit of a debacle. Patriots game was one great quarter and then 2.5 quarters of absolute, like, terrible offensive football, followed by one good drive. Vikings game, they got out early to a lead. They kept chipping, like, they kind of kept adding on to it, I would say. They didn't go completely dormant, and then they played 5 bad minutes and it almost cost them. But otherwise, I would say it was their best game. Good start. Browns suck. They're starting Dylan Gabriel, officially. They're so down bad with Shedeur Sanders and that whole situation, he's still third on the depth chart. Joe Flacco's ancient ass, presumably, isn't coming here to play quarterback after the Steelers' bye week. We know Mike Tomlin is terrified of Joe Flacco for whatever reason, probably because he knows how to beat Mike's defense.
He, for the record, if he would have started that game, I think the Browns have a real live chance to win. Because I do think, for whatever reason, Flacco, no matter what, no matter who is on his team, he can play the Steelers well. He's done it forever.
I'll admit that I would have been nervous about that game, even though it's here, and so I think it's a little easier to imagine them winning than it is if the game was in Cleveland. Yeah, I mean, I Flacco, it's just if you don't get home against him, you're like, oh, crap, he's going to find somebody running free across the middle and he's going to throw a laser beam.
Yeah, and it's not like the Akershire Stadium crowd will, you know, flap him because, right, you know, he's been playing since 2008. Oh. He has seen that crowd at its
he
best.
He is not flappable at all, Donnie. He's unflappable, as a matter of fact. I want to start
Cool. He's a Joe Cool.
I want to start describing players who get rattled as very flappable. Like, we talk about people who are gruntled, they're not disgruntled. We make that. I think we need to start talking about guys who collapse in the face of adversity. They're a very flappable player. The Bengals suck. Without Joe Burrow, they have been exposed as a complete house of cards, probably built more on one person than any team this side of what, the Bills or the Ravens? Their defense, as Mark Crowley, no relation to Adam, points out in the YouTube comments, did really nothing to address its flaws. So their best players out. They just got mollywopped by the Broncos in primetime, like humiliated completely. And the Ravens have Jackson out this week. I still operate under the assumption that Jackson's going to miss next week too. They've got a desperate Houston team and a very good Rams team. The Steelers have two winnable games because they get Browns Bengals back to back. And those look like two games you should win. I'm wondering, even if you are as cynical as I am, because I find myself coming over to this side right now, the more I think about it, the longer I kind of linger on the current situations. And I know the Steelers' schedule gets very tough, and frankly, the Ravens' schedule gets very, very easy after they have their bye week. And the Steelers are about to embark after two more pretty easy games on a rough slate of affairs here. I'm coming around to the idea that if it's 1-5 trying to chase down 5-1, it's just too much. All the Steelers need to do is win a couple of the games that we've kind of pegged as probable but not definite losses. So I'm not saying like Lions or Bills. I'm saying like Colts, who look pretty good right now. All you do is fix that, win those games, and suddenly you've got like 11 or 12 wins and you become almost impossible to catch. If you handle your business in two or three of the extra games and you don't have any like stumble and falls.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The one in the game, I'm going to take that one. We were struggling with who was in the game, and I probably made a call that probably wasn't simple enough for everybody. And so that's on me.
Talk about the 81-yarder.
Yeah, absolutely. That's on me, and I'll make sure if that ever happens again, if we have some attrition the way we did it, the way it happened, I got to give our guys something that's way more simple and that they can line up and play. And it may not be the best defense, but it'll be something where we won't have a chance to blow it. So, our guys play great. And again, that last one is on me. And I'll make sure that doesn't happen again.
Now, that is Steelers figurehead defensive coordinator Terrell Austin saying he made the call. He ordered the code red. We all believe Mike Tomlin did. Did you know somebody said he never has a play sheet? Did you see, Donnie, they cut to him and he had his little placard of defensive calls? He did. He was holding it at Ireland. So that's Terrell Austin falling on the sword, I would think, for the head coach, who, if he thought himself thought that the call was too complex, he would have changed it. I guess it's him also falling on the sword for Chuck Clark. I don't know. These guys have been around for a while, the veterans in that secondary. I feel like you got to have that one figured out. By the way, listen to the PM Team on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. That said, that clip right there, we can be flippant about it and funny about it because it ultimately did not cost the Steelers a win, partly because Peyton Wilson chased down Jordan Addison and prevented him from scoring with like 3.5 minutes left, which would have made the end of game situation, I would think, considerably more dicey for the Steelers. They're 3-1. The Ravens have a gajillion defensive injuries. I think 7 defensive starters out. Matabuke's out for the year. Lamar Jackson has an injury that's going to keep him out at least a week. They are in no way, shape, or form constructed really to win without him. Their defense, even before all the injuries, was pretty abysmal. Their pets' heads are falling off. It's basically a dumb and dumber situation right now. The Bengals suck. Browns is the Browns, in the words of Juju Smith-Schuster. Somebody pointed out, Donnie, on YouTube, if you're Dylan Gabriel, how pissed off are you that you're getting your first NFL start? And the headline on at least one site is, the Browns have a new starting quarterback, and it isn't Shedeur Sanders. Like, you can't even get your name put in there by at least one or two sites. They're doing SEO. They're doing search engine optimization. Dylan Gabriel doesn't move that needle. That's like me trying to send out a Twitter poll. He's got to be the one to do it. Pony.
Oh, yeah. He always gets through the cracks despite not paying
but,
for
I mean,
the site.
They're a genuine mess. The Bengals are a complete mess. The one thing the Bengals could do right now that would actually put a little fright into me, a little Halloween fright, as you're watching probably Michael Myers in there, is trade for Jameis Winston if they actually wanted to try to make something of this year. Wouldn't you immediately feel more nervous about them if they had him?
Yeah, I mean, I also think that the Giants should try to part ways with at least one of those two guys. Now, if it was up to me, if I'm New York, I'm parting ways with Russ. Because we've talked before about how Jameis is just a much better fit as a backup, great vibes, locker room guy, and Russell Wilson is a robot.
Oh, yeah, I'd want nothing to do with Russ still on my roster, but, like,
but I mean, you
who's more appealing to a team, I think?
Yeah, I mean, if you put Russ in Cincinnati, you at least give yourself a shot. It just seems like that team has nothing without Burrow, and I mean, that's proven to be the case. They fell for the three or four nice games, like decent games from Jake Browning a few years ago.
I think they thought he was their Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, and they thought, like, okay, we'll be okay. Man, they've scored 13 points, and they've been outscored, what, 76-13 in two games?
Yeah, I think, I want to say Buck and Aikman kind of pointed this out, but it was like such a pathetic effort, too, against the Broncos. It looked like it went deeper than Browning. Like, the wind, once Burrow went down and they knew he was going to be done, like, the wind just was out of the sails there. I will say, like, if we're going to have a Mike Tomlin defense session, that's a setting where I think Tomlin is just not going to allow a team to cave in, you know, emotionally. Like, those guys didn't even look remotely bought in.
Well, I mean, think of when the Burrow injury happened. It was week two of the season. We find out that he's going to miss
Browning
pretty much
comes
the whole
in
year.
Relief and, like, plays well in relief.
Now, I know at this stage, the stages in the careers were a little bit different. Burrow still at any point is a perennial MVP candidate.
Yep.
And this was more late stage Big Ben. But 2019, he gets hurt in the second game, season over, you think. And that team at one point was 8-5.
I know. I mean, I just
they were the ones that blew it down the stretch. They had a great opportunity to get in with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph.
Listen, in balance, I'll always say that give me the offensive coach anymore, and hopefully they're a decent motivator for players. But that is an example of a season where Tomlin's ability to drag the best out of his guys that he's got on hand is impressive. So against that backdrop, the question is simple, 412-928-9370. Are you starting to actually feel like the Steelers can win this division? The Ravens are very realistically staring 1-5 right down the barrel. The Steelers should be 5-1 after six games. Is that enough to start swaying you about this team's fortunes this year? Emmanuel's in Carnegie. What's up, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I think it all boils down to the game that we're taking for granted, the Tomlin game. That's the Thursday night game, short week heading into Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. If we win that game, regardless of what Baltimore does, we're winning the AFC North because we're splitting with them. Book it. Their defense is not good. We're going to at least take one from Baltimore this year.
I am not – if they get a healthy Lamar Jackson back and it's like normal Lamar, I am not yet prepared to say that they're just splitting book it. I mean, I think that they played a kind of a virtuoso game the first time around against him last year, and then he got to adjust, and we kind of saw how scary that can look when he does adjust to you. I do think, though, four games and, like, the possibility that Jackson's injury stretches even longer, like maybe it doesn't just get healed up in the bye week, starts to really give me pause about them. Like, I would say outside that building in Baltimore, the panic meter for their fans is probably a 10. I can't imagine how it's much less than that inside, though. Say this about the Steelers, and usually this would be a negative. In this very weird way, it's a positive. They are just nowhere near as quarterback-driven a team. And I understand that Rodgers was brought in to be a big improvement over what they've had mostly post-Big Ben. They're not as quarterback-dependent. If the Ravens go to Cooper Rush for six games with a depleted defense that was underperforming anyway, what are they going to go? 1-5? 0-6? It is the drink is very much stirred by the quarterback there. Derrick Henry looked like an MVP last year because Lamar Jackson was handing him the ball and because he was running against light boxes because of what Lamar can do. Aaron's in Uniontown on the Fan. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Malzie. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Hey, so 2017, we finished 13-3, won the division, got embarrassed by Jacksonville. 2020, started 11-0, won 1-5 down the stretch, embarrassed by Cleveland in the playoffs.
Yes.
Last year, same thing.
10-3, embarrassed. Yeah, embarrassed by Baltimore.
Right. So do I trust this coaching staff or particularly Mike Tomlin moving forward? No. Even if we do win the division, which with Aaron Rodgers seems likely, we've seen this script before. I would like to say that the story's going to be different, but you know, it's pretty bad whenever I'm sitting here thinking, like, at the bare minimum, I want them to win a playoff game. Like, that's well,
winning
where
the division does guarantee you a home playoff game, which I always listen. I think home field advantage at times can be a little overrated, but I don't think it's nothing. And it also theoretically, not even theoretically, I mean, unless you have like a team.
Do you
like
trust
the Chiefs,
Mike Tomlin moving forward?
I don't trust him because of a lot of what happened in the last 5 minutes of that game. But like, as far as trusting him to just generally speaking, if they stay healthy, i.e., if Rodgers doesn't get hurt and their line continues like a slow uptick in play in protecting him. I trust him, I think, to get them to at least 10 wins, given the way the schedule's starting to break for them. Like, if they get to 5-1, I think 10-7 should be an expected bare minimum. Which
but
would
that's
be,
what we're talking about here when they're 3-1. We're talking about 10-7 when they're 3-1.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, that's what 8 years of scar tissue and watching this guy like live in his fears in big moments does to you. Thanks for the call. I mean, that's why I started this as a conversation topic. Because I think it is very difficult for some people, and I think Aaron speaks from more people than not, maybe. It's very difficult knowing what the Ravens, when at least Lamar is healthy, are capable of, and knowing that they just played the hardest part of their schedule by far. I think it's hard for people to look at like the way the Steelers have collapsed in recent years. That's just a solid set of points he made to support his side of this. It's pretty tough to get yourself believing that this is going to be different. The only thing I would say back is they have a very heavily invested in terms of draft capital offensive line. And they have, I think, two tackles. I know Broderick Jones still got bull rushed on one play, although I thought that there was a play that looked really bad where Rodgers gets slung to the ground. I thought Seumalo missed his block there. I did not see Broderick Jones being the problem. I thought he was trying to take the edge rusher and Seumalo whiffed on a guy coming on the inside a little bit on an inside stunt. And what you have that could be different is Rodgers, when he's protected, Donnie, would you agree just quickly here, is better than the guys they've had? He slings it.
No
he puts
doubt.
It where it's supposed to be.
And he still has such a high IQ where
he can check you into the right plays. I mean, I thought he played like a very early Big Ben style of game. I'm going to be hyper-efficient with what you do ask me to do, and I'm going to make the right plays. If your offensive line comes around and your defense suddenly looks like it has the last couple games being this disruptive, okay, like we might be talking about something a little bit different. Like there are enough new faces around, there is enough youth being asked to do more things on offense that I'm willing to concede that it could be different. Rob in West Mifflin. Hey, Rob.
What's going on, Marley? How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's up?
I think they can win the division.
If you're a betting man right now, Rob, if you're a betting man, I said you have to put $50 of hard-earned currency on any AFC North team to win the division. Who would you put it on right this second?
I told you yesterday I put together a parlay with the Steelers, man.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, I had to, man, because, I mean, they can't stub their toe this year, man. Like, it's like, come on,
well, they
man.
Could.
There's nobody in the division, like you said. If they did trade for Jameis Winston, and that's crazy you said that because I just heard Ryan Clark say that on his pivot.
Jameis is better than Jake Brown. I mean, that's why people like Ryan are saying that, because I think Russell Wilson's probably completely cooked, and I think people wouldn't want him around. I don't think it's that hard if you're a team that is coached by an offensive guy like Zach Taylor to just say, hey, Jameis, here's our basic stuff. see Jamar Chase, see T. Higgins, throw those two dudes the ball. But, like, if the Bengals don't do that, I just don't see a path to wins for them with Jake Browning. And I know the Broncos have a really good defense, but they looked a different kind of abysmal in that game. Daryl in Elizabeth. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, you know, even before Joe Burrow got hurt, the Bengals were still going to have to score 35, 40 points a game to win.
I would agree with that.
I'm not saying they can't because Burrow's that good. But I think the Ravens are done, and I think John Harbaugh's done at the end of the year if they don't make the playoffs. I don't think Steve Bisciotti is like the Rooneys and would just
Bisciotti was going to fire him after the year when Lamar was a rookie. Then they, in desperation, turned to Lamar, and it saved Harbaugh's job. As far as the Bengals thing, did you see, Donnie, were you watching the game? Aikman talked about how Al Golden, their defensive coordinator, essentially was going to be like this very laid-back defense where they just tried to trade field goals for touchdowns, and now that Burrow's hurt, he basically has to, like, call aggressive plays?
Yes. Yeah, I remember that exact point.
So, to me, that should make them even easier to beat, because if you don't get home with blitzes, and I think you are a pretty talent deficient defense like they are outside of Hendrickson and, you know, maybe one or two other guys.
Yeah, he's really the only guy you get worried about.
You're going to get absolutely strafed by a good team if they're picking up your blitzes.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We go. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And we talked to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Mike is brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, how about this from Pony? It's Steelers bye week, so it's a little bit more relaxed around here. There's not a Mike Tomlin Tuesday presser to react to or anything else. He has departed or decamped for Cleveland to watch playoff baseball. Guardians, Tigers, your thoughts on playoff baseball for Pony on a random Wednesday during football season?
Who's he rooting for?
I think he's going with a former producer here at the station who just works in a different field now, who's a big Tigers fan. I think he's going Guardians just to create some fun, friendly tension, but I think he might also just be pulling a Rob Lowe and wearing like a Major League Baseball hat and saying, go baseball.
I saw his tweet, the stadium wasn't full. I don't know why they play these games in the afternoon. I don't. Not that I would watch them at night. I could watch them in the afternoon. I lost all interest in baseball when Sid Bream somehow scored for second, 1992 LCS Game 7.
He was out, Mike.
Throw him out. I tapped out then, and I've never gotten back in. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I was a Guardians I was an Indians fan back then. I went to a game in 1997 in the World Series, and I think it officially died for me when Jose Mesa blew a save in Game 7 that year, and then Charles Nagy blew the game, and Edgar Renteria hit one up the middle. But I'm not going to talk about things that make me sad, Mike. We're going to talk ball here. And I must admit, I am a cynic. I feel like you probably know that about me from having done enough interviews
Good.
With us. I'm very
That's
cynical.
Why we get along.
Yeah, exactly. I am always looking for the dark cloud. If there's a silver lining, I need to find the dark cloud to fill in the gaps there. And yet, I can't think, other than going 4-0 as opposed to 3-1, I cannot think of a better start for the Steelers at the rough quarter pole here than what they've done, coupled with what the rest of the AFC North is facing. Like, how you look at Baltimore specifically, because no one's taking Cleveland seriously, and no one's really taking Cincy seriously, minus Burrow. How much trouble do you think the Ravens are in right now at 1-3 with a banged up defense and an injured Lamar Jackson?
I think they've got serious issues. Even if Lamar were healthy, that Monday night game, which was now 9 days ago, it just had a weird vibe to it. From the moment the Ravens were at first and goal in the second quarter, they ran it once with Derrick Henry. Then they ran it again with Derrick Henry, and they cut to Lamar, and he was very frustrated. And he had that frustration about him the rest of the night. And I assume the message was, you got a two-time MVP, why are you taking the ball out of my hands down here? But the frustration continued to come back. And I pay close attention to the demeanor of a quarterback when things are going well, when things are going poorly. What message, what vibe is he sending to the rest of the world, specifically to his other 10 teammates on offense and the 11 guys who play defense, and really the entire team, because Lamar is the heart and soul of the Ravens. And it just was a message that made me say something is off. And we've seen it now. They lost a game they should have won to the Bills. Mm-hmm. They easily beat the Browns, although the game wasn't quite 41-17 in feel, they still beat them by 24 points. And then that loss to the Ravens, I think it stung because two years ago, basically the same two teams got together, and it was 38-6 Baltimore. And then to lose to the Chiefs in a must-win game for both teams, and then to have the injury, I just think the bottom's close to coming out for the Ravens. And I agree with you. You couple 3-1 with the Ravens 1-3 and sinking possibly. The Browns, I think the Browns need to be taken seriously because they are capable of winning any given Sunday, and who knows what Dylan Gabriel is going to do. Joe Flacco was their biggest weakness, and they still beat the Packers a couple of weeks ago, so don't write them off. But the Bengals are done. Unless they trade for Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston or maybe even Kirk Cousins, I don't see that happening. It's a lot cheaper to pay Wilson and Winston, and cheap, as we know, is the key word for the Bengals. The Bengals are done. They're cooked. And here are the Steelers. They had three winnable games to start the season, and they lost one of them. The first toss-up was Sunday in Ireland, and they won it. So 3-1 is a great way to start when you consider in only one game did both halves of the team show up. And if both halves of the team show up on a regular basis, the Steelers are going to win enough games to get to the playoffs. And the question is, what will they do when they get there? But, you know, it's attrition, and we're seeing high-level contenders possibly fade. Bengals, fade. Ravens, maybe fade. It opens the door for the Steelers to take the place of that team. Now, there's still the Bills. Don't write off the Chiefs. You got to deal with the Broncos, who I think are going to make a run. The Colts are for real. But the Steelers have a seat at the table 4 weeks in, and that's more than they could have hoped for, especially after that week 1 win. It felt like a loss to the Jets.
Well, I use that term to describe even the Ireland game, at least as it pertained to Mike Tomlin, because he did his damnedest, I thought, after coaching circles, frankly, around Flores and O'Connell both, with like a hand in the offensive game plan that Vikings defenders admitted was just not what they were expecting. I thought he got way more the better of Kevin O'Connell in that particular matchup. The reason I'm hesitant to fully jump on this bandwagon of, hey, they could really get rolling downhill here and run away with this division if things break their way, is the head coach started living in his fears again. He had to be talked into a goal line go for it by Rodgers. That was an obvious one. They called a running play, which I didn't get. And then on 4th and 18 inches, he punted it, and they apparently told Corliss Waitman to punt it out of the end zone. Mike, I cannot yet trust this man. He coaches 55 great minutes and then makes me want to pull out my non-existent hair over the last five.
Hey, and but for the fact that the play clock wasn't working on the north end of the stadium as the Vikings were driving to get Will Reichert, who banged a 62-yarder with maybe 10 yards to spare the prior weekend against the Bengals, that game may have gone to overtime. And yeah, it's one of those where throughout the day, after the first drive where the Steelers went 3 and out and the Vikings had a nice drive and it petered out and they got a field goal, after that, the Steelers took over. Kenneth Gainwell looked like Franco Harris in his prime against the Vikings. I don't know if that lasts. The Vikings' run defense is suspect, but the Steelers should have won that game by more than 3 points. I agree with you. But they won, and here they are with extended time to get ready for the next game at 3-1. And they're... Yeah, it'd be nice if they hadn't been embarrassed in their home opener, their only game at Acrisure Stadium, by the Seahawks, but you're going to have those. It's where you go from here, to be 3-1 and to be essentially in command of the division with the Bengals at 2-2, which is the weakest 2-2 team I think I've ever seen, and the other two teams at 1-3. Steelers got to be very happy.
They have Calvin Austin now, it looks like, out for potentially multiple weeks. He was the de facto wide receiver 2 behind DK Metcalf. Do you think there's going to be any reasonably big names on the move in the wide receiver market that the Steelers could go after in season, Mike?
Well, let's just see how it plays out. You know, it's too early for anyone to fold the tents, but a team that's 2-2 now could be 2-5 by the time the trade deadline gets here. So we've got 5 more weeks as of yesterday, and it's possible. It's possible. And it may be necessary, especially with Austin injured. So it's something to keep an eye on, and this bye week gives them a chance to study carefully anyone out there that may become a target for a trade from the teams that look like they're not going to contend. And the guys to watch are the ones who are in the last year of their contract or the last year before the contract's going to get torn up. That team has a chance to get something for the guy. That's why Tyreek Hill, before Monday night, obviously, was an obvious candidate for a trade, because the Dolphins were going to cut him after this season. They probably will anyway, but that would have been somebody that would have been in play for a team like Pittsburgh. So watch the teams that fade and the receivers that are either under contract for just this year or they have a deal that the team isn't going to want to keep next year.
Well, Jacoby Myers for the Raiders seems like the obvious candidate when you put it through that rubric as far as a team that might already be fading. I want to switch quickly, Mike, to the game itself in Ireland. Two things about this. First off, it was the second most watched international game ever, I believe. Dolphins-Chiefs in 2023 clipped it a little bit, but otherwise it got a huge audience for NFL Network. How much do you think that market now is going to continue to grow? Like, do you think the NFL looks at this as a big-time success in Dublin for this game?
Yeah, the NFL is determined to globalize the game, the commissioner said in Ireland on Saturday. And we already knew this, but I think it's the first time he said it out loud. The goal is 16 international games per year, with the goal of every team playing one, which makes Minnesota's current 2-game road trip, these are 2 road games the Vikings would have otherwise had, that makes it even more interesting, because that's an experiment toward the possibility of having multiple teams in Europe at some point in the future. How do teams deal with? How do they react from? What are the consequences as a practical matter of going away for that long? So the idea of teams being headquartered in Europe isn't dead, but for now, 16 games is where they're trying to get. The union's going to have to agree. Right now, the maximum's 10. They want to get to 16, which would mean a lot of those early morning 9:30 a.m. kickoffs. And think about it. Almost 8 million people watching on a Sunday morning when the game starts at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's an impressive crowd.
All right, last one, and you get to put your lawyer hat on, the barrister's hat here. And explain to our listeners who were kind of scratching our heads and we were doing our own amateur theories as to why this might have happened. We know that Skylar Thompson, I think Tom Pelissero had it first, got jumped and lost some of his stuff the morning, you know, late night, I guess it would have been, before the actual game on Sunday. And so we see the headline and we see the story and he's okay, he's with the team, and then no charges filed by anyone, to my knowledge, still in this situation. What do you think happened there? What's your best guess as to why the story breaks and then we hear absolutely bupkis about anything else taking place?
Well, I think our shared cynical nature would be that neither the NFL nor the Steelers wanted to create an international incident over this. And if he wasn't badly injured and if whatever he lost wasn't all that significant, then let's just exercise discretion here, not file a formal complaint. I don't think he's going to fly back over to Ireland and file one now. So I think it was all about, hey, we don't want anything to mar all of the positivity that comes out of playing this game in Ireland and expanding the global footprint. And I think it's that simple. Somebody suggested to him that the prudent thing to do would be to just say, I'm okay. Maybe I got punched in the face. Who even knows? Who even knows what happened? We'll find out hopefully whenever he's available to talk to reporters if he'll even answer the questions. But I think it was all about, we don't want any dark clouds. We want all silver linings coming out of the excursion to the land of leprechauns and pots of gold.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. We always appreciate the chats, Mike. Thank you.
See you, man.
All right. Shared cynical nature right there yields the more or less the exact same result. I think my ultra cynical thing on the Skylar Thompson situation is that Skylar Thompson may have started it and somebody in some other group of people finished it. And that's still kind of going to be my alternate story here. So I think technically that's even too cynical for Mike. But 16 games overseas. You know what's really quick, Don? You know what's interesting about what he said there? When you hear somebody put it in those terms, 8 million people watched it. For at least some portion of that audience, the game wasn't on at 9:30, it was on at 6:30. For the Mountain time zone, it's on at 7:30. For the Central time zone, it's on at 8:30. Like, 7:30 and 6:30, you really, I think, as a fan, have to be, like, mentally gearing yourself to wake up and watch that. And I would imagine a not insignificant amount of people, if you could break it out by time zone, watched it out there. Like, the majority is probably East Coast, right, where it's 9:30, most people are up on a Sunday. I mean, everyone says, like, when does the appetite for the NFL, like, reach a saturation point and you're like, I'm too full on football, I can't eat anymore? Think about Pony that day. Or you, probably. What did you do on Sunday? Woke up, watched the game, basically had the game bleed directly into the 1 o'clock slate. You probably moved off of the couch briefly, bathroom break, get something to eat, whatever you were drinking, if anything. Settle right back in for 8 more hours or 7 more hours or whatever till primetime comes on. Doof, doof, doof. Berman's there doing his spiel. Hit the Sunday night game. They're going to get 16 games and they're going to have an audience that is more than okay with every Sunday, almost every single Sunday, turning into a 9:30 to 11:30, 14-hour football extravaganza. They're going to own the entire day.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen down the road for a couple of reasons. I mean, we can't put a definitive date on when that will happen, but I do think it's one of those things that is inevitable on the NFL calendar because, A, what you just said, people will start to fall in love with the idea of, hey, not only do we have a standalone game tonight at 8:30, we have a standalone game in the morning,
right,
at 9:30, and then we have the rest of the league at 1 o'clock and 4:25. Right. We still have our Thursday night. We still have our Monday night. People will start to love that idea.
Right.
It is good for the media partners, I assume, because then more people will want to get in on the fun, not just the NFL Network or maybe one of the random streaming services. That gets them involved even more on those international games. And if they go to 16, once we hit an 18-game schedule, they could
You skip the last week of the season and probably the first week of the season.
I was actually going to say skip the last 2 weeks, because that first week now seems to be reserved for Brazil.
True. So maybe skip the first two.
Australia, I think, is coming up.
Skip the first two, skip the last two, maybe, and only start them in like week three and end them by weeks. Then I think if you have 18 games, you have to bring a double bye into play to accommodate this a little more easily. It's going to happen. The thing you said that makes the most sense to me is people are just going to love the idea of, oh, it's not 4 hours till football. It's I wake up, like I make breakfast, and there's a game that's about to start. That's how I think this is really going to get sold to people, and I think people are going to love it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.